Well, good afternoon, everyone. This is Chair Rita Moran, pursuit of House Rule 10.01. I call this remote meeting of the Health and Human Service Policy Committee to order. The committee legislative assistant will take the role for attendance.
Representative Moran.
Present.
Representative Morrison.
Present.
Representative Keel.
Present. Present.
Representative Albright.
Present.
Representative Backer.
Present. Backer present.
Representative Bonner.
Present.
Representative Edelson.
Present.
Representative Fisher.
Present.
Representative Freiberg.
Here.
Representative Hewitt.
Here.
Representative Liebling. Representative Liebling.
Here.
Representative Mann.
Present.
Representative New.
Present.
Representative Pearson.
Present.
Representative Pinto.
Present.
Representative Robbins. Representative Robbins. Representative Schumacher.
Present.
Representative Schultz.
Present.
Madam Chair, there are 16 members present on the call.
Thank you, Jasmine. A quorum is present. So members, before we get to our main agenda today, we need to approve our minutes from our last hearing on Wednesday, April the 22nd. The minutes were included in the hearing documents that was emailed to you. Are there any questions on the minutes? Maybe we can unmute for this too. If not, Vice Chair Morrison moves the approval of the minutes. All in favor, please unmute your phone. All in favor, say aye.
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 Okay, thank you. All opposed? Motion prevails and the minutes are approved. So we're going to begin our hearing with House 3104, which is bill. Today we're going to consider amendments to the House, to House File 3104. And then we will vote to move the bill to the general register. I will make a few procedural motions to get us started so we'll be able to consider those amendments. So the chair moves that House File 3104 be recommended for placement on the general register. And I will not move, I would next move to adopt to the adoption of the A20-745, delete all amendments. Further amendments to the delete all amendment are now in order. All amendments for considerations today have been posted on the online hearing notice and emailed to members. So I'm hoping you all have amendments before you. We would take, move my phone out the way so we won't hear, hopefully we won't hear that sound. We would take voice votes on adoptions of amendments unless a roll call is requested. So I ask members to be ready to unmute, be ready to unmute yourself when it's time to vote. And feel free to call for a division if needed. Hopefully you want. It's a little bit more complicated for me. So hopefully we'll make this smooth. Okay, so I would like to start with the A11 amendment So while you are pulling that amendment up, it has been sent to you. I will give a brief explanation. So the A11 amendment would make changes to the family asset for independents, which Independence of Minnesota program, or the FAME bill, effective immediately, which DHS has confirmed that can be implemented. There we go. Thank you, Chris. It also make a few changes to the comfort call requirements in response to feedback I have received from county attorneys. So there will be flexibilities in cases where such a call could create a possible danger to the child or the foster parent. So that is also part of the 811 amendment. There's also a change to the ARRM policy proposal from Representative Acom in this amendment. And I will recognize Chair Liebman at this time to discuss that change further. Chair Liebman.
Okay, sorry, Madam Chair, I'm not exactly tracking. I was a little distracted. What are we doing here?
The amendment to the ARRM policy proposal that Representative Acom proposed.
Oh, okay. Thank you. I didn't realize I was. Has the amendment been moved? You just want me to explain it?
Yes, could you just please explain the changes to that?
Oh, all right. Well, so this is a result of a compromise between ARM and Disability Law Center. So if folks remember, the ARM policy bill had a five-year extension of the fifth bed, allowing a fifth bed in these four-bed group homes. And anyway, I had raised some questions about it when we heard the bill before, and then did a little, reached out to some disability advocates and also heard from some disability advocates about this. And the Disability Law Center got in touch with ARM, and they worked out this agreement to just extend it basically through 2020. To give them time to work out a more robust compromise. So this is not my area of expertise, but I was concerned at the time that I wasn't hearing any voice of the consumer. And I did mention at that point too that I was kind of invoking Representative Loeffler because she would have been there speaking up for the consumer every time. And I'm satisfied now that, and I think Representative Acom, whose bill it is satisfied that this is a good compromise, just extending the moratorium, or the exception to the moratorium, I should say, just through the end of this year to give the groups more time to talk about the issue.
And that's what you see highlighted on the screen. And Chair Liebman, I would just like to say that I just want to thank you for lifting up that question. You're right, Representative Loeffler, this was something that she would have done. But I think some of us were concerned. It may seem very simple to move from 4 to 5, but if you are the caretaker, that process is not always the easiest and most efficient process for the individuals who are in that home because they have special needs. And it takes a lot to make sure that the providers are doing the best by the ones that they are taking care of. So the date was a good date to, you know, delete the 2024, put it to the end of December 31st and allow the stakeholders to continue to be in conversation with each other. So again, just thank you, Chair Liebling, for raising that up and working towards a compromise. The amendment also includes a series of technical changes to the bill that has been flagged by DHS in-house research, which Ms. Pennelly can briefly address for us. Ms. Pennelly.
Madam Chair and members, the changes on lines 1.15 and 1.16 is adding an immediate effective date to the section that's restoring the 90-day notice to lead agencies under MIN choices. The change on line 1.17 was requested by DHS, and this is providing clarification around licensed professionals under the CD treatment chapter of statutes. The changes on lines 18 and 19 were also requested by DHS, and this modifies the qualified professional definition for purposes of the substance use disorder program. Lines 20 and 21 adds a special effective date to a section related to placement of foster children in qualified residential treatment. And this matches the effective date of several other sections related to the same topic. And the change on line 22 was requested by DHS, and this is just correcting a cross-reference. And then the change on page 2, line 1, was also requested by DHS, and this is just a conforming change, is my understanding.
Okay. Thank you so much, Ms. Pinelli. Is there any discussion on the A11 amendment? Any questions? Okay. We're seeing none. The chair renews her motion. All in favor, say aye.
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 All opposed? Motion prevails and the amendment is adopted. So there are several other amendments that we're going to walk through, including the A2, the A5, the A7, the 6-7, and the A9 and the A13 amendments. And so I would like to start with the A2 amendment. And as Representative Schultz, if she could move that amendment and then explain it.
So Chair Moran, I move the A2 amendment, and basically it's concerning self-directed caregiver grants, and it provides in state statute that the Board on Aging shall consult with area agencies on aging and other community caregiver stakeholder groups for these self-directed caregiver grants, so they have more input into the allocation of these grants. And it directs the Board to submit progress reports every January to chairs and ranking minority members of the Senate and House committees and divisions with jurisdiction over human services. And in the attachment to the email for this meeting, we've gotten many letters in support of this amendment from Legal Aid and our agencies on aging across the state. So and the Alzheimer's Association. So I recommend members read those letters as well.
Thank you, Representative Schultz. Do we have any discussions, any questions on the A2 amendment? Okay, please unmute yourself. Seeing none, the chair has renewed her motion. All in favor, say aye.
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 Any opposed? The motion prevails and the amendment is adopted. Okay, thank you. We're going to move on to the A5 amendment, which is Representative Edelson.
Madam Chair.
Yes.
Real briefly, I just wanted to announce for the record that Representative Robbins has now joined the call as well, so we have all members present.
Okay, thank you. So we have before us the A5 amendment. Representative Edelson, can you please move your amendment and explain it?
Yes, I apologize. My husband and I are both working in the same space. Yes, the A5 is a part of the Civil Commitment Bill. House File 2898 essentially is what this is kind of addressing. We added APRN to the examiner. Hold on 1 second. Okay, so what this does is we realize that critical aspects access actually didn't allow for the APRNs to impacted rural hospitals. So we're taking out the critical access so that we remove that barrier for care for people in rural communities.
All right, thank you. Are there any questions or discussions on the A5 amendments?
Madam Chair, Representative Hewitt has a question.
Okay, Representative, who is that again?
Representative Hewitt.
Representative Hewitt, please. Question?
Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair, and to the author, Representative Edelson, thank you so much for working this out. Working in a little bit of rural care myself, the situation that would have been at hand if we didn't change this would have been terrible. So thanks for getting it through your getting it done in the bill, and it's going to help those critical access hospitals with the mental health that they experience in those areas. Thank you.
Is there any further discussion, questions? Okay, we'll see. And the chair of the new motion, all in favor say aye.
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 All opposed? The motion prevails and is adopted. Okay, we're going to now move on to a 7th amendment, which is Representative Morrison amendment. Please introduce your, please move your amendment, Representative Morrison, and explain it to us.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move the A7 amendment. This amendment was brought to me by the Minnesota Home Care Association. The amendment would change medical assistance law to mirror recent changes to Medicare law related to which healthcare practitioner can order home care services. With the recent passage of the Federal CARES Act, Medicare law was permanently changed to expand who could order home care services, to include physician assistants and three types of advanced practice registered nurses: nurse practitioners, clinical nurse specialists, and certified nurse midwives. The intent of the 8-7 amendment is to have consistency between the Medicare and medical assistance as it applies to who can order home care services. The amendment also cleans up another inconsistency in state law. The APRN Coalition, the Minnesota Nurse Practitioners, and the Minnesota Medical Association have all reviewed this amendment and are supportive or neutral on the proposed change. This provision is important policy even without COVID-19, but it's more important now because physicians are overburdened and there's an increased access need for home health services for complex patients that will prevent hospitalizations during the pandemic in the future.
All right. Thank you, Representative Morrison. Is there any further discussion on the A11 amendment? Okay. Being none, the chair is renewed for motions. All in favor say aye.
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 All opposed? The motion prevails and the amendment is adopted. Thank you, Representative Morrison.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
We're going to move on to the A6 amendment, which is Representative Keel. Bill, Representative Keel, can you please move your bill and explain to us what it does?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Yes, I would move the A6 amendment. It's been a few years since we started the Certified Community Behavioral Health Clinics, or better known as a CCBHC. It's a model that is integrated model rooted in the mental and chemical health services, and this is to reestablish the foundation of our medical health care system in Minnesota. Minnesota is one of 8 states that was selected for this federal CCBHC model beginning in 2017. There are now 8 of them in Minnesota, CCBHCs, with several more clinics who have applied for that state and federal expansion. So overall, this language cleans up the and adds the ability for the state to seek some necessary federal authorizations to implement the statute changes we passed last year for this model.
All right. Thank you, Representative Keel. Do we have any questions on the amendment? All right. I'm seeing none. All in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Aye.
All opposed? The motion prevails and the amendment is adopted. Okay, we're moving along. We're going to move on to the A9 amendment, which is Representative Schumacher's amendment. Ms. Representative Schumacher, can you please move your amendment and explain the amendment to us, please?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'd like to move the A9 amendment. To that amendment, this was brought to me from the Minnesota Inter-County Association. This deals with the Yellow Line Project that was started in 2016. And the Yellow Line Project helps bring together the folks that do social services and mental health screenings with law enforcement. So when someone gets picked up, they're able to identify those who need treatment right away. And so there, when we sent the information to CMS on the program that's being done here, there were some suggestions that came back from CMS for our state plan amendment. And those included what we have in the amendment today, which expands the program to allow for providers to include licensed alcohol and drug counselors, as well as recovery peers, as long as they're under the supervision of licensed alcohol and drug counselors, and allows for tribal organizations to provide for or contract for these services. And then the amendment also goes on to remove the state cost for that on the non-federal MA share portion. So that is the amendment.
All right. Well, thank you so much for that. Do we have any questions on the A9 amendment? Okay, hearing none. All in favor, say aye.
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 All opposed? Motion prevails. The A9 amendment is adopted. Okay, we're going to move on to our A13 amendment, which is Representative Pinto amendment. Representative Pinto, can you please move your amendments and explain it to us?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I do move the A13 amendment. And members, this amendment contains a variety of provisions that passed the Early Childhood Finance and Policy Division, which I chair. I should note that they all had, as far as I'm aware, unanimous and bipartisan support. I'll walk through the different components of what's contained in here. It's a little bit unusual because what we're doing with this is matching this entire bill, Chair Moran's bill, up with the bill that Senator Abler is carrying in the Senate. And in the area of early childhood, there is not going to be, as far as I'm aware, a separate early childhood policy bill. And so I appreciate Chair Moran allowing these provisions to match up on our side to get an expeditious end to the session. So the particular components that are included in this, the first section in line 1.4 allows military child care providers to receive the child care assistance program. So these are families who currently, they're military families who currently are having to go to private sector providers, but it may be more convenient for them to receive care from a military Department of Defense provider. And this is something that would allow payment to go there. I want to confirm none of these provisions we're talking about today have any cost to them. Line 2.1, starting there, there are several provisions from the Family Child Care Task Force, chaired by Representative Wasilewicz in the House, Senator Kiffmeyer in the Senate. One relates to allowing a variance application and a standard form for doing that. I do want to note that at this area, this is one provision that was not contained in the early, did not pass the early childhood, that the Department of Human Services provided some technical assistance, just a little bit of wording on this to make clear that the department is the one tasked with developing the form in consultation with the task force rather than the other way around. That's just some technical assistance. And that's the one piece that came after it passed through our committee. All the rest of this passed through. Line 3.1 is another Family Child Care Task Force provision allowing for the posting of child care variances and having that be posted in family child care homes. Baby's First Years program and coming up on line 5.8. And maybe with the chair's permission, we could just, that's a provision that's a bill that was carried by Representative Bonner, who's on our committee, and she can maybe just explain that one since she is on the committee.
Representative Bonner.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. This bill is basically based around a study. The bill's chief doctor, Dr. Magnuson, out of the University of Wisconsin, is part of the longest running poverty research centers in the country. And they're basically doing a research study in which they wanted to study the effects of a small amount of economic assistance to families and the ability that that might have on a child's development in their first formative years of life in terms of their brain development, physical, mental, and emotional. And essentially what this bill does is it allows them to receive that cash payment without impacting any other additional assistance payments that they may receive without, so that it will not count them as income. So they will not be penalized for participating in the study.
Okay, thank you. Representative Pinto.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And actually, maybe a slight correction to the bill's author there, just to confirm that actually that we already decided several years ago to have that exclusion in place. All that this language does is simply extends the study for a couple more years, which is necessary as the researchers are conducting the research. So you'll note lines 5.29 and 6.1, it's simply extending by a few years. We're making no changes otherwise in terms of excluding assets and various other things. That's already in current law. This is simply extending an existing research programming, allowing it to continue. And then it, starting on line 6.1, there's the same sort of thing for a program that's going in Dakota County called the Birth to Eight program, birthday pilot program. It's carried by Representative Richardson, and simply, again, allowing that program to continue. And then finally, line 7.5, are several kind of technical matters in the that were advanced by the Department of Human Services in the child care policy, simplifying some current law and a number of issues. And again, all those things passed through our committee unanimously. The last piece, which is the biggest one, is a bill that just passed yesterday through our committee, starting a line 11.4 and continuing on from there and for a number of other pages. Which makes a number of changes required by federal law relating to the training of substitutes in childcare, and then a number of other pieces that that connect to that as well. And I can walk through that as folks have questions, but we may have already taken plenty of time on this. So thank you, Madam Chair.
I just want to thank you, Chair Pinto. You know, you have just done a really awesome job as chair in the early learning, you know, committee. And since you're not putting together a policy bill, I am always happy to accommodate you because early learning has a very special place in my heart too. So anything we can do to partner to further move and support our youngest learners, I'm always happy to do, but thank you for your work.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Madam Chair.
So I don't see any other amendments. So there been no further-
Madam Chair, Representative Robbins had a question.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, members. Representative Pinto, I appreciate all your hard work on this. And I just have one question about the extending the Baby's First Year Demonstration Project. I'm actually very interested and supportive of this. But my understanding is that this project has and the research has been going on, at least in Minnesota, since 2016. And so I'm wondering if we're extending it out to 2025 and the report isn't due till 2027, if you could comment on, I mean, that's a long time. That's a 10-year timeline without a report. So I would love to see earlier reporting and more frequent reporting, because if this is really moving the needle for families in poverty, maybe we'd want to expand it. And I just, I'm not comfortable with how the reporting is. So if you could just address that, maybe it has ties to the project or something, but I'd like to better understand the reporting. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair, Representative Robbins. I think actually the where we diverge is in your very first comment that actually did not start in 2016. It's true that the enacting language was then, but this is a massive program. And so I believe, and I suspect that the bill's author will have fresher information than me, but I mean, I think that they only started enrolling patients, participants in Minnesota very recently. Like, I mean, within the last year, certainly. So it took a long time to get going. I'm not sure if Representative Bonner recalls some better information than that, but it's been quite recent.
Well, thank you. Oh, sorry, Representative Bonner, if you know, our research staff told me it had started in 2016 for Minnesota. So I just was going on that. Thank you.
Yeah, no. So basically, they recruited individuals from area hospitals. And because of the rigor around that process, it took a little bit longer to get up and running. So they are right now in the process of collecting data on the very first year of that study. So actually, it took a little bit longer to get started, which is the main reason for the extent.
So, but to be clear, the first report won't be back to us till 2027. Is that accurate?
I believe that I do not have the bill language in front of me, but I believe that is the deadline, yes.
Okay.
And this is just to be clear, this is a multi-year study following those first years of life. And we're literally only at the first milestone of that study.
Okay, thank you.
And Madam Chair, with your permission, if I could just note that we will be getting reports all the way along. This is simply the legislative report is sort of the very last thing, but I mean, information is being generated, but I'm on their website seeing that they completed recruitment in July of 2019. And I certainly know that, it just took them, it's taken a really long time to get off the ground because they had to raise a lot of money actually, because it does involve handing over cash to people. And that just took a long time to do.
All right. Is there any further questions? Okay. Well, there being no further questions, I would like that the chair renews a motion. All in favor say aye.
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 All opposed? The motion prevails and the amendment is adopted. So there being no further amendments, the chair renews her motion to adopt the A20-0745 amendment as amended. All in favor say aye.
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 All opposed? The motion prevails and the A20-0745 amendment as amended is adopted. Is there any further discussion on House File 3104 before we vote on the passage of the bill?
Representative Moran, Chair Moran.
Representative Schultz.
Thank you, Chair Moran. I just forgot to mention that the amendment, the A2 amendment that we adopted, yes, was a bill introduced by Representative Lippert. So I want to make sure he got credit for his House file, which is... let me just get that House file number, 3074, House file 3074.
Well, thank you, Representative Schultz, for just lifting up Representative Lippert and the work that he did. Really appreciate that. I'm sure he appreciates that. Any further questions, comments?
Madam Chair, this is Chris.
It's Chris.
I just wanted to update make a small adjustment to my production note from earlier. We did have Representative Robbins on the call throughout the hearing. We just had missed her on the initial roll call taken by the legislative assistant. So just want to be clear, she's been present for all votes.
Okay. I've seen her, so yes. I'll let you hear. Okay. So we're going to move on. Since there's no further discussion. And before I do that, I just really, really would like to thank members. I would like the staff, as usual, for their fantastic work and the time that you put in to make sure that we're able to do the work that we do here in the legislature. So thank you all. Mrs. Sutterman, Ms. Pinelli, thank you. Chris McCall, my CLA, Jazzy, I just want to thank you all for the awesome work that you just do every day to make us functional and make us work. So there being no further discussion, the chair has renewed her motion that House File 3104, as amended, be recommended for placement on the general register, and that House research staff be directed to make technical and conforming changes as necessary. I will request a roll call for this vote, and the committee legislative assistant, Jasmine, would take the roll.
Representative Moran?
Yes.
Representative Morrison?
Yes.
Representative Keel?
Yes.
Representative Albright?
Yes.
Representative Backer?
Yes.
Representative Bonner?
Yes.
Representative Edelson?
Yes.
Representative Fisher?
Yes.
Representative Freiberg?
Yes.
Representative Hewitt?
Yes.
Representative Liebling?
Yes.
Representative Mann?
Yes.
Representative New?
Yes.
Representative Pearson?
Aye.
Representative Pinto?
Aye.
Representative Robbins?
Aye.
Representative Schumacher? Representative Schumacher? Representative Schultz?
Aye.
Representative Schumacher?
I thought it was
here you go. Representative Schumacher. Okay, one more time, Representative Schumacher. Okay. Aye. Representative Schumacher. Thank you so much.
Madam Chair, there are 18 ayes and 0 nays.
Okay, great. So there have been 18 ayes and 0 nays. The motion prevails. House File 3104, as amended, is recommended for placement on the general register. The House research staff are instructed to make technical and conforming changes once again as necessary. I just want to say that, I just recognize the great work from our staff, but I also want to say, I just want to thank the representatives who have worked through each one of your amendments to get it to the place that we have the omnibus bill here, that we're going to be moving out of this body that is beyond COVID-19. And so for all the work that you have done and continue to do, I just wanted again to say thank you and congrats on that work. So members, we will be meeting again to roll out a second policy bill containing provisions that align with Senator Vinson's committee in the other body. Staff will send out language and bill and the bill list to members and to the public as soon as they are finalized. They have some final work to do with Senator Vinson. we would take a similar approach to the bill we just passed, asking bill authors to present any proposals that we have not previously heard in the committee before voting on the amendment or passage of the bill. We have reached an agreement with Senator Benson on the content of this bill. So while the amendments will of course be allowed, we would need to get agreement from the other body for any changes that we make, since our intent is to avoid any conference committee moving forward. Okay. So in saying that, and with no other business before the committee, I would like to say we are adjourned. Thank you all again.